Accession number 23200, Real 4.
Mr. Kidger, Real 4. What would you do in the evening, when the day had finished, the training sessions had finished?
Well...
At Pathelli?
Normally would watch a picture, you know, on a screen, you know. There are different types of pictures, you know, it depends what they got, you know. But all in black and white, you know. And if it wasn't that, it was more of a case of the... It was a case of what I call having a sing song, you know.
The canteen.
The canteen. I mean, well, there's not many who could sing, you know, apart from our own Geordie songs or Scottish songs, whatever it was, you know. But things like that, you couldn't afford to buy beer, you know what I mean? And if you did, if you could afford, you know, because the beer was like water, you know.
Had you started drinking at all then, or?
I couldn't think of it because I didn't think of drinking then, because I was what you call underage, you know. You had to be, a certain age to get what a cut, you know. I think you had, if I'm not mistaken, I think you had to be a naval seaman before you could get grog, a rum ration, you know.
Now, what about visits to Pathelli? I mean, you know, were you allowed out at night for, you know, into town or village? It's not that big a
place. I don't think, what a cut, I think I was only out twice in all the time I was in. I didn't care much about it. But apart from that, you hadn't the money for to do, you know, I mean, 7 shillings, you know, I mean, it wasn't a lot. But you couldn't do a lot because you had to buy stuff. I mean, you had to buy your own toothpaste, stuff like that, you know. Your own shoe polish, you know. Stuff, you know what I mean? Well, buy TMPO, them sort of things, you know what I mean? You hadn't much left, you know. And if you didn't smoke, you had sweets, you know. You didn't get many sweets because of the sweet ration, you know. Lads, you know what I mean, anybody that smoked, you know what I mean, they won't get what you call duty free, so I had to pay nappy prices, you know, which is probably twice as much as what they were in the Navy. I mean, 6 months for a pack of cigarettes, I mean, in nappy terms, it was shilling, you know, or 1 and 3, whichever it was, you know, for 20. So, really, in a way, your 7 bob didn't take you that much, you know, unless you got in your head, you didn't send any money home, you get the 14 shillings, you know. You know, they were, and you had it to them, you know. That's what you got when you were an ordinary seaman. But I used to send 7 shillings home. That's 7 shillings to spend, you know.
You said, yeah. Now, so anything else happened at Pathelli before you left? You were there about 3 months, sort of January to March.
I was there 3 months. And when I left there, I had to go to Chatham Dockyard. That would be me port.
That was your home port?
That was my home port. And I was given a number, and I never forgot it. And it's a drum it in here. Well, I had that number when I was at Pathelli, and I never forgot it.
And what was it? Do you know it now?
It was CJX641899. Never forgot it. And it doesn't come up in the lottery. But I never forgot that number. Never. And then when I got to Chatham,
so that'd be about March.
It'd be roughly about that.
43.
Because I was sent to him on 14 days leave. And then I was brought back. I was sent to him on 14 days leave. And then I was, I was told to report the Pollock Dock, Belfast. And I was given a ticket to come round by Stranraer and a quarter. Straight off me leave. And the ship I had to go and join was called up.
We've just looked it up, and you must have been at... We've got the date slightly wrong at the time you joined up, because the Calder arrived at Pollock Dock on the 26th of September. So presumably you were at HMS Glendower from sort of March through to June, that sort of thing.
No, I think what I missed out here between my conversation here is, I think when I went back to Chatham, I went down, and I went to, they sent me on a leave, I don't know what 7 days or 14 days leave up home. And I don't know if, no. And I would come up 14 days and I went back. And I record, I remember, I went to what I call it, the way, a Gunnery course, I went to Sheerness. I did a Gunnery course before I went to the
so
way.
So that would explain a lot of it. Now,
right,
now what do you remember about the
Sheerness?
Yeah.
Well,
what was the Gunnery course like?
Well, it was good, what I call it, the Gunnery course, Sheerness, it was good for training and stuff. Yeah, you know, what we used to do, used to train you on the shooting ranges, you know, different types of guns, you know. Rifle, as I say, the Lanchester. That was what I call it, that was the American gun, that was what I call it. It used to be the lowest gun. And then the... I was taught to what I call it, out to what I call it, use the what I call it, the Halton guns, you know, the Bofa guns, the pump gun guns. They all came in, you know, different types of guns and stuff like that. And he did different types of practice, you know, with different types of gun, you know. This, you know. And also what used to do, used to get you what I call on a gun, depends what it was, if it was on a Lewis gun, Bofa gun, or a pump. Used to get an aircraft tune one of these sleeves, you know, around, and you had to fight the sleeves, you know, the practice, you know. That was mostly on Bofas and Horlicans.
Now, tell me about, what did you think of the Bofas and the Horlicans and the pom-pom compared to each other?
Well, if you were on a Buraco, if you were on a Bofa gun, you know, which wasn't gyro, it was what I call, it was all what I call hand done. It was a gun learner, a gun trainer, you know. What I call it. I was mostly gun learner, but I used to learn what I call it, the gun on a target. The trainer, he had to keep up with the speed, whatever was aircraft, but it's mostly a sleeve, we'll find it. Here's the thing. And a skipper of the gun, once he turned on, said, I'm on target, he's training that one. Skipper of the gun says, fire, and I had to pull the trigger. And put it on the same. And that was really just whichever way you would have caught, you know. But it depend on your trainer. I mean, some would have caught, you know what I mean, one hand done. You should go past these, would have caught it. And 9 times out of 10, you know what I mean, you were totally fire in the captain of the gun, you know what I mean. You know, at times, you know what I mean, it got me frightened because if you're told to do something, you've got to do it, you know. And I used to put my hand on the trigger and the gun used to be still. And at times, you know, you used to go to get that close to the tail of the plane, you know. You know, I mean, they must have got the frights up there, you know. You know, when you were training and stuff, you know. Because you had to take instructions from the skipper. He was the man in control of the record, you know. And you were record, your trainer's that side, you're this side, you've got the trick in your hands. And if he turned on and said, right, fire, you know, you pull that trigger, you know. And at times, you know, you wonder, you know. And it's, you know, I mean, something to come to a fight. That was manual, you know, but it did get better in later years, you know.
What about the
Horlican?
What was that?
The Horlican guns, I like them. Because the thing is, you are the only one in control of the magazine, you know. Now, your magazine, the gun, you know, I mean, it was, used to be 60 rounds in the old magazine, you know. You used to feed your own, what are called, shells in your magazine. You had so many, what are called, tracers, you know. It was straight and in a tracer, straight in a tracer. I can't remember at the time. But then again, you put your own shells in the magazine, you fired your own magazine, you were in control of the gun yourself, you had nobody to turn around, you couldn't blame anybody, and you were the one that was the most. I thought they were the best guns of the lot, apart from the Bofas.
you actually preferred the Bofas?
Pardon?
You preferred the Bofas, or...
I prefer the Bofas.
Why was that? Because I thought you...
Well, I don't know. With the Bofas, you know, I mean, the shell travelled faster, farther, you know, farther the field and stuff, yeah, you know.
It was more powerful.
More powerful, you know, one is.
What about the pom-pom?
Pom-pom, I don't know. The pom-pom was sort of gun, you know, I mean, I think it got distracted with the, you know, they were going up and down, you know, fighting that one. I mean, with the Bofa, you know, I mean, you only had two barrels, you know, going up and down. With a pump, I mean, they were up and down. I don't, it never appealed to me, the pom-pom, because I don't know whether it was the sound or like that one, you know, but it was more like a thing what you got on the fairground, you know, going, you know, bum, 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 you know, or like a motorbike, you know, back fairing, you know. But between the Huracote, you know, I mean, the both, I like the Huracote, the both are the best, the lot. But I like the Horton.
What about bigger guns?
The 4.5s, I'm never on them because I always on small arms. I was only trained on small arms. I didn't go to 4.5s, you know. It was mostly anti-aircraft stuff in the city, you know. It was a case of the guns I was training on was the Hurricanes, both us, pom-poms, mostly for aircraft, you know. And we were taught how different types of aircraft the Germans had, you know, how we could recognise them.
Did you do it? I mean, air recognition, how sophisticated was it?
Well, I had no problem with that, you know, because I had an idea of the British aircraft, you know, in the city, you know, and anything else, you know what I mean, a different shape. To me, it was a foreign, you know. And I thought, well, there's only two people I'd fighting, that was the Germans and ourselves, you know, and the British aircraft didn't come up. So, and you think, you know, I was took, you know, if it wasn't the same shape as a British, it was a foreign, and it was a German, you know. So I had no problems that side, you know. With the aircraft, you know. But
anything else about the train, the gunnery course?
Well, they used to, what they used to do, what I call mostly on guard, CNS, you know, being a gunnery school, you know, used to put you was down by this, what I call it, down by the sea, you know, and used to put you on guard, you know. Well, you said what you call these Lanchesters. Well, they were American, what I call it, gun, and it was like a magazine, a long magazine, and it's typical American gun, what you see on the pictures. You put it on the side, you know, once you push it in, once you pull the trigger, it's just non-stop, it's just fired, you know. Now, it used to give us, what I call it, when we're on guard, you know, at night time. Naturally, when you were on guard, you were told, you know, if you heard anything, you know, it was either a friend or foe, you know, be recognised, you know, in the city, you know. Now, with it being down near the sea, you know, at Sheerness, you know, when they were cut, sea used to come in, used to fetch the pebbles in, well, naturally, you know, you get things, funny noises come from outside, you know. And you're always told to be on your guard in this night, you know. But I had one experience, I'll never forget it, because we all had what you call single huts, and we all slept in what are called double bunks. You had a bunk on the top, a bunk on the bottom, you know. And it was single, what are called huts, they were. And it was a moonlight night, and I'll never forget the night, that one. And I was on this lad, you know, he's very nervous in the city, you know. And of course, he's trying to calm down, you know, in the city, you know. And this night, there was a, what I call it, was a cat. It was very moonlight night, you know. It had got on, and it shone, you know, showed a reflection. And looking at it, what you saw was something big coming across the top of the roof, that one, you know. And he got that frightened. He turned around, pulled the trigger, and he hit it, you know, hit it with it, hit the gun. I'll never forget that night. He put every window out, and that what I call it, that row of, out that one. And he made him believe me, I don't know how he done it, but he hit every top window out that one, and he made everybody had a look at his escape. If he had been any lower, he would have killed them all. But it was just a case of what I call it. Once you hit the trigger, there's no stopping. Just went through, you know. And he's hitting up. And it was what I call it. It wasn't quite. And what it came out to be was that, what I call somebody else had seen that was in the guard room, had seen the reflection of the cat. And what it was, they thought it was somebody on the top, you know, going along the top of the roof of the thing. Well, and I don't think that lad ever would have called it. Settled down, you know, after that. Because he got shot. I think the fear was going in, he's going to get wrong for it. It was just one of those things, you know. He just banged the magazine in, you know, pulled it together, and it's just empty, you know. He just stole it one. I'll never forget that. Oh, no, well, he missed, you know. He could have killed everybody in the top bunk, you know.
And you, were you in your bunker? Where were you?
I was on guard with him. I was only two on the gate. You see, you know what I mean? As I say, he was nervous. when he was on thing, because all he was nervous was the rumble of the pellet, the pebbles on the beach. You think there was somebody there because you couldn't see. You had an idea the direction it would come from. Anybody that'd be in a show like that, you had to stop them, you know, ask them friend or foe, you know, reckon would come forward, be recognised, and say, you know. He had the fear of that, you know, and he think it was going to be attacked, you know. But I was on the thing, because, as I say, it was an inquiry, you know, the next day, I had to go in that one, you know, and it all come out, you know what I mean? And fortunate enough, you know what I mean, there was somebody seeing in us, what was in the hut at the time, you know, in the guard room. I'd seen what happened, that one, you know. Otherwise, you know, I thought you was on practice, you know. But I'll never forget that night. Never.
Anything else happened while you were at Sheerness? How long was the course?
Well, I must have been there till I joined the colour, you know, roughly just before.
So 2 or 3 months, possibly.
It could have been that one, yeah.
We're not sure about that, but roughly. Anything else happened?
What do you mean from... at Sheerness?
At Sheerness, yeah.
Not really, you know what I mean, not really, you know what I mean, because when we're a cut, you know what I mean, we got through the course, you know what I mean, it's, I think you got to a stage, you know what I mean, you didn't get much money, but you were glad to work a cut to sit back, you know, and enjoy life, and but it was a case of, you're there, you had to make the best of it. It's no good moping over anything, because it's going to make, you're not going to get out any sharp, right? You're not going to get anywhere, you know, you might as well make the best of it, you know, till you get out, you know, to find out where you're going, you know. I dare say, I mean, if I'd have went from there and had a base in England and never went to sea, I think I would have hit the Navy more. But when I went to sea, I found out the difference. I enjoyed it.
Now, that was the difference. You went to join HMS Calder.
That's right.
At Pollock Dock.
Yes, I went with another person from Chatham, and he happened to be a Geordie. He came from South Shields, and we came up this way because we had to come through Newcastle for to go to Stranraer, you know, and which was the Carlisle way. And we joined the ship that would have called it Stranraer, you know. And I can remember what I called it being the only two Navy people on board that ship.
The only what? Sorry?
The only two out the Navy on board the ship, the rest were civilians, you know. We're going back to Belfast and that quarter, you know. And I'll never forget that day because that was the only time I was seasick.
Why was that?
I was violent sick.
I mean, you hadn't been to sea much, no. I presume at all, even.
Well, it was cussing from the... It was cussing from Stranraer to Lorne, you know.
But that was... You hadn't been on many...
No, not crossing that distance, you know. I've been across on the ferry and that, you know. And I was sick. It was just coming up in the city there. And I can always remember there was two kiddies who were saying to the mother, you know, look at Ma, there's a sailor that's been sick, you know. I thought you told me sailors don't be sick, you know. I could have died. I could have died on that ship. Not with the thing, it was just, I was ill. And the lad I was with from South Shields, he wasn't seasick. But as I say, I never, I need more effects with seasickness after that. And the lad from South Shields, he was just the opposite. As soon as he got out of the harbour, he was away. But I always remember that when I came over, because I'm two little kiddies, so saying, you know, she says, Mom, look at that sailor's been seasick, you know. You know, I thought it was a joke. You know, I would have done if I'd have been them, you know.
Now, what were your first impressions when you got to Belfast, to Pollock Dock, of the Calder?
Well, when I seen the ship, you know, I seen the size of it, you know, and compared to the size of the ships we were building on the Tyne, you know. I mean, the ones we were building on the Tyne were a lot bigger than the ones we got from America, you know. And I couldn't believe it, you know. And, you know, I thought I was going to have a rough time being a small ship, you know. But yeah, there were smaller ships than what they were, you know. But I enjoyed it, you know. But I know when I got aboard in this night, you know, it was a young ship. It was mostly bunk beds, you know. All had bunks, no...
What did you think of the bunk beds? I mean, had you ever had a hammock? I mean...
Yes. Yes, when I was in barracks.
At Chatham?
Yes. Or, you know what I mean, if I was, what I call, on St. Kitts, I had hammocks, you know.
That was later.
That was later.
But what did you think of the bunk beds on the ship?
I liked them, but the only trouble was, they were in three tiers, you know. And what happened was, when I got on, you know, I got down with the Mystic, you know, told us where I had to go in the city area. The told us the Mystic, you know. It says, there's a bunk bed there, you know. Well, you had a row of lockers, you had, underneath the bunk beds, you know, because the bunk beds went up, and one of them was your locker, you know. Well, I thought it was great, you know, locker, and I was told the bottom bunk is yours. Smashing, great, you know. I won't fall out of bed, you know. And I'd be able to use me locker, you know, when I want in the city, you know. I thought it was great at the time, but what happened was, the person above you, or the person above him, which, you know, was the third one up, if he wanted to be in his locker, and you're on the bottom bunk, and you're having a nap, he used to wake you up, and you had to get out of your bed, so he could get in the locker, you know. So he had two people who used to disturb you, you know, and that was the biggest fault I had of the lot, in the bottom bunk. It was an easy bunk to get in, an easy bunk to get out, but boy, I tell you something, they didn't have to have it with you, you know. Used to make you, you know, I want to be in the locker, I want this, I want that, you know. And they said, you had to get up. You know, you had no option. That was the beauty of being on the top bunk, you know.
Tell me about the rest of the Mystics. What were the Mystics like?
Well, we had, used to be in two parts, you know, it was port and starboard, you know.
Which one were you in?
I was aft, you know. I was mostly on port side, you know.
Port, the aft one of the port deck.
Port one. And I would have caught, you know, I mean, I don't know, it was 20 or 25 each either side of port or starboard, you know, whichever side it was, you know. And I can't remember much about the water court, you know. At the water court, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the water coat, I mean, the colour. I enjoyed the colour regards what the lads were, you know, and this, that, the other, you know. And,
What else would you have in the mess deck? You've got your bunk beds in three.
You had the tables, your long tables. Which used to have what you call a lip round, you know, to stop your place from going over the sides, sliding off when it is. You had to be, if it was rough or like that, to hang with you, whatever you were eating in this area, you know. It was warm. Apart from that, you could do your, what I call it, you could do your laundry, you know. That was your biggest problem. You only got a bucket, you know.
Had they'd taken out the lockers? When they were originally built, a lot of them had laundries in, but they'd taken them out, had they? You were bucket washing.
They had a dryer in, you know. But it's not every time you could get your stuff in the dryer. It was like a big tumble dryer.
How did you wash your clothes in a bucket? I mean, what was the method? How did you actually do it?
Well, you had a water cooler, you had a bucket, and you see, you had green soap, bar soap, you know. A woolly blanket, it's hard to do. You used to put a woolly blanket in a bucket, you know, because they were deep buckets, you know. And you used to wash it, you know. You had to start one end and go through, you know, going through in the state, you know. And it was a hard thing to do. The wash out like a woolly blanket, you know. To rinse it, you had to get somebody to give you a rinse, you know. Somebody to give you a hand, you know. But, you know, whoever was there handy to give you a rinse, you know. You used to help them, you helped. Then you had to put a coat, you know, the rest of your clothes, you had to wash in a bucket, you know. It was mostly, you're doing your laundry in a bucket. There was no laundry. But everything was done in a bucket. Majority of stuff went to the World Court, the boiler room. It was hung up, dried, but it had to be stamped, your name was on, this, that, the other. Because you couldn't get all your stuff in the dryer. Because if you put it in a dryer, you had to wait. But if you're waiting there, you're wasting your own time. So it was easy to hang your stuff up in the boiler room, you know. Your stuff had to be all stamped, you know. And your stuff would, if it was missing, out that thing, and it didn't get back. And then you said problems on board a ship.
Tell me what uniform and kit you had when you got on the Calder, because I should have asked really early, but what uniform and kit would you have?
I got a little boot with Salkin. it was two of everything, really. Two pair of socks, two pair of underwear, you know. Two everything, you know, you had thing of, you know. I couldn't tell you off by hand.
What unit?
You had a blue, you had, what do you call it, number threes and number twos, you know. What do you call it, uniform, you know. You had two hats, you know. You know, I mean, one, what do you call it, you know, I mean, was for white, you know. And the other one was blue, you know. You had two, what do you call it, you know, the white, you know, thing one. You had two woolen pullovers, you know. That's what I'm wearing now, but it's a bit roller neck. It was two of everything, really, really, you know.
And what one, kit would you have? You know, other things were issued.
What do you mean, in shoes?
Well, just sort of...
Yeah, two pair of boots, or not shoes. I never had shoes, really.
But what about other sort of kits, you know, like, anything else they issued you with?
What, the, toothbrushes and stuff like that, and combs, like that one, you know. You always got, what a cut, you got a housewife, you know.
Which what was that?
A housewife was what a woman used, you know, I mean, like a sewing box, you know. Everything you want, you know, sew buttons and threads, that one. It was classed as what you call a housewife, you know. It was, you know, sewing kit, you know, needles and thread and all these damn things, you know. It was what we call a housewife, you know. That was your vertical, you know, ways and means of sewing stuff up, you know.
Anything else they issued you with?
You got brushes for polishing the shoes and stuff like that, you know, one for putting on, one for polishing. You had to buy your own polish, you know, stuff like that. Soap, you had to, what I call it, you got supplied with soap. You got, what I call it, sea soap, you know, it was, in other words, if there was no fresh water, you used sea water, you know, or another type of soap, you know, you used to wash with, you know. It depends on what the conditions on board the ship was at the time, you know. So really, you got two of everything. You could imagine what you wore, you know.
Was there any stealing of kit? You said, you know, when things.
If anything went missing, that was the only time I found it. So when I was in barracks and when I was on board the ship, the same thing happened, no matter where it was. If all your kit was stolen, you had your own name on and your number. Which is always, you know, we forces number 6 4, you know, CGX, that was stamped on. That was stamped on, and if anything went missing, it was reported. So if I was to recall it, if I was put stuff down, it got pinched in the worst place, whatever it was, barracks or board of ship. If it got pinched, no matter what part of the day it was, the note said, it would let go on till everybody was in bed. And when everybody was in bed and they thought I had been in bed for an hour or a couple of hours after lights out, you know, he said, come down, and he said, wake everybody up. So, and everybody had to open the lockers or the kit bags, whatever it was, to go through. And it was always a common practice. It was done in the middle of the night. And it said, if they ever caught anybody, which they did, you know, they punched, you know. You either got number 16s or number 11s. It depends on the punishment, you know. For that one, you know.
Who would do the searching? The ship's
it place? Was done with the POs. With different POs. They just didn't go from one deck to one mistake to the other. They just done a mass. You know. In other words, you could be lying in bed and all of a sudden somebody comes and shouts and everybody's on top of you. It didn't give a person... I pinched it, they ate it. And if they caught them, and they say, you know, a lot of people used to do anything but they would, because what used to happen was some people that was in the Navy, I found this out, didn't like washing. And what they used to do was rather throw it away and pinch somebody else's. I found that out. And if they were found, they did the punishment, you know. And they said, yeah. And that was the only thing, well, it's found about anything that got pinched. Was in the middle of the night, you know.